sacrament is going to break forth the bread of life. Lord bless you.
Praise God. God is so good. So that's where we have hope, the hope for the heavenly blessing. The Bible in the book of 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, if only in this life we have hope, we'll be among most people miserable. So this world is coming to a tragic end in fire. Let us go before the Lord with a prayer. My Heavenly Father, in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I come before you as a yielded vessel to use for your glory. My Heavenly Father, you said in the book of 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. And we persuade people tonight a Grace and Hope mission to receive your Son as their Lord and Savior before time run out. Use me for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The topic tonight is going to be the value of salvation. We live in America, and they have a value system in America. They value things that God does not really is so enthused with. The value system of this nation is always things that will perish. But God has a different value system. He valued the things that will endure to eternity. Now, we know the value of something is based in our society on the price. You go out to buy a watch, they have different prices. So you base your value on that watch based on the price. You look at a $5 watch, you say, well, this watch is cheap. A Rolex, of course, may be $5,000 or $10,000, so you say that's a very expensive watch. So the value of a Rolex is much greater than the value of a $5 watch. So people value that watch that paid $10,000 more than a $5,000 watch. I had a friend of mine in Brooklyn. He went and bought a $5,000 Rolex, and he made fun of my little $20 watch. But they both kept the same time. So he was into his watch more than mine, but they both kept the same time. But he valued that watch a lot. Now, God himself wants us to value something more important than watches, cars, and clothing. He wants us to value Jesus Christ. But in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, the sixth chapter, and the 19th and to the 21st verse, the Bible tells us about things that we lay up on this earth. But we read in the book of Matthew 6:19 down to verse 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, where neither thieves do break in nor steal. For where your treasure is, therefore your heart will be also. Now we know that God himself, through Jesus Christ, has a paradise for those who's willing to serve him on this earth. And the book of 1 Corinthians 1:18, the Bible tells us, this is the value system, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are being saved, it is the power of God. Now, we believe in the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but to the world it's foolishness. So often my wife and I, we preach in the streets, and people look at us and say, why are you out here doing this? Who's paying you for this? See, they see no value in the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it's nobody paying us. We're doing it out of love. In the book of Galatians 5:6, the Bible said, faith worketh by love. So we are governed by the love that we have for Christ to do the work of God in the preaching of the gospel. We also read in the book of Hebrews about Moses. Now Moses is a type of Christ. Esau is a type of the world. Now, in the book of Genesis, Esau, in Genesis 25, Esau sold his birthrights for a bowl of soup. See, Esau was the type of person he wanted now. We're living in a now generation. Everybody wanted now. They're not concerned about the hereafter. They're not willing to live for the so-called pie in the sky. They want it now. So when Esau came home to his brother, it was not time to be fed, but Esau, at that time, did not see the value of his birthright. You know, a lot of people today, they don't see the value of the salvation of Jesus Christ. But Esau told his brother Jacob that he would sell his birthright just for a bowl of soup, not knowing the value of his birthright after his father died. And that's how it would be for many people in our society. After death, they would see the value of salvation. But on this side, they can't see it now, because the devil has blinded their minds against God's righteousness. Now, the Bible in the book of Hebrews 12 said when Esau sought for it with tears, he could not get his birthright back, because he saw the value of that birthright after his father died, that he would inherit his father's goods. But Jacob had that birthright, and Jacob had what Esau should have had, but Esau sold it out for a bowl of soup. And in our society today, people are selling Christ out to be a president, to be a lawyer, a doctor, to get into movies, because they see these positions in our society very great. It's valuable to them. It's valuable to them to be seen, to be known on this side of eternity. But on the other side of eternity, when they have to answer for their sins, then they will acknowledge the value of salvation, but they can't receive it on the other side. Now, Moses, the Bible says, in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, which is the faith chapter, the Bible speaks of Moses, Hebrews 11:24, actually. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pledges of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So Moses made a choice. Moses could have been Pharaoh. He could have lived big. People could bow down and worship him, made statues in his image. But Moses knew that being Pharaoh would not last forever. Moses valued the things that was not seen. Moses valued the promises of God. See, God has given us a promise. Those who's willing to submit their lives to Christ, he's promised to share his kingdom with us. In the book of Romans, the 14th chapter and the 17th verse, the Bible tells us what that kingdom is. The kingdom of God is love, peace, happiness, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, we're living in a society that people is being destroyed. I was talking to a sister in Christ this morning in Brooklyn, in a mental hospital, and have a lot of people, a lot of cases out there. And they acknowledge it now that it's more than medicine that can help people. It's a spiritual thing. And so what they have done, they have invited some ministers to give them the word of God. And she's going to get involved with a program. She's going to be a volunteer with them to tell them about Christ. But see, man is acknowledging that man is more than flesh. There's a part of us that only God himself can bless, and that's our soul. Sure, we need food for the flesh, but you also need the word of God for your soul. So we do value the things of God, the word of God. But the world, since they're lost in sin, they cannot see what we can see who is in Christ. And God wants each and every one of us to be a vessel that we can be used to bring other people to this knowledge, the knowledge of salvation in Jesus Christ. Because the Bible lets us know that those who are living in sin, that their sin is being credited to their name. You know, like when people get a credit card, they go out, and when they first buy something on the credit card, they don't think about paying for it. It's so easy. You go out, they say, do you have a credit card? You say, yes. You take out the credit card, they swipe it, you sign a piece of paper, and that's all it is to it. You get your merchandise. But when it comes time to pay on what you have credit, most people complain. I have never met anybody complain when they was crediting things. But when they have to pay for the credit, that's when they complain, because they got to pay out money. Well, you see, that's how it would be on the day of judgment. For those who have not received Christ into the hearts of their Lord and Savior, who have not valued the things of God while they lived on this earth, that all the sins that they have committed on this earth is credited to their name. So when they stand before Christ, they have to answer for the things in which they have done. So this is why God wants to value the things of salvation in Christ, to value Christ. because Jesus Christ is more than a man. So often people want to put Jesus Christ in the same category with everybody else. But Jesus Christ, according to the Bible in the book of John 1:14, was the Word of God that was made flesh. No other man came in existence like Christ. And besides that, Christ existed before he came through Mary. He said so in the book of John 8:58. He said, before Abraham was, I am. And so this is why we know that Jesus Christ is just more than flesh. And Jesus Christ is the most valuable person that Christ has ever given to mankind, because his blood was the blood of the New Testament. And the book of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, starting at 45th down to the 47th verse, the Bible said that Adam all died, but in Christ all have been made alive. So God himself wants us to value Jesus Christ to the degree that we're willing to live like Jesus Christ in this life, not to ignore what he has given to us through Jesus Christ and accept the things that are seen. Now the Bible in the book of 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, and the 18th verse, the Bible said, for which cause we faint not. Let me go to this and read it the way it's written. And this is what God wants. 4:18, why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now God himself wants us to value the things that are not seen. Now to the natural mind it makes no sense, because the only thing we have is God's promise, his word. We're living based on the word of God. But you see, Jesus Christ came and Jesus Christ made the word of God alive. It's just more than words on a page. He made it alive. Because when Jesus lived on this earth, he lived according to the word of God. He was that living word that came in the flesh. And he set the example for us. Now, many times Jesus Christ could have sold out and went the other way. But see, Jesus Christ came for a purpose, because God values the soul of man. Now, you live in a society, people only love you if they can use you. But God loves you for who you really are, because he made you for a purpose. Not to come on this earth and just live any way you want to, but come on this earth to live a life that is pleasing in his sight, to glorify him. And he value your soul. This is why he sent Jesus Christ for your soul. And he want to preserve that soul throughout all eternity in heaven. Now the Bible in the book of 1 Samuel 16:7 says that God sees not as man sees. For man judges from the outward appearance, but God judges the heart. It's based on how people are dressed or how they may look. But God goes beyond the outward appearance. God sees that heart that's longing to know him. And God wants people to be used as a vessel to get his word to those people who's longing for God. See, these are the things that God valued, his word. You read the book, the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. The Bible always speaks about the word of God. Why? Because the word of God is God. And you cannot go beyond the word of God to serve God. We're living in a society, people, they're trying to deform the word of God to break it down to their understanding and live according to the way they want to live. But the word of God is given to reform man, to bring man to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. So God valued his son. In the book of Matthew, the 17th chapter, in the 5th verse, God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So God loved Jesus, and Jesus loved God, and they both worked together to prove a relationship that he wants to have with us. This is why Jesus came in the flesh, to show us the relationship that God wanted to have with mankind. See, when Adam had a relationship with God, he was not ashamed. When God came down to visit Adam, Adam was always there to talk with God, and they walked together. But that walk was broken when Adam sinned. Adam went one way, and God could not fellowship with Adam because of sin. But you see, what God did, God himself punished Jesus Christ on behalf of us, that he can have that relationship with us again, because he's a righteous God. He's a righteous and just God. And being a just God, he must punish evil. And God himself, out of his own love, came up with salvation to punish Jesus Christ on the behalf of the sinner, that the sinner, by faith in Jesus Christ, can receive glory. The Holy Spirit that God gives to those who serve him. See, without the Holy Spirit, you cannot serve God. No matter what type of religion you may have, no matter what type of background you may have, without the Holy Spirit, you cannot serve God. So often you ask people, do they know Christ? They say, well, I'm doing the best I can. But you see, God himself wants us to do the possible. See, it's possible to have faith, to believe in something. That's the possibility. God does the impossible, to change our nature as we believe in Christ. So we work hand in hand with God. We do what God tells us by believing in Christ, submitting our will, our lives over to Christ, and trusting in Christ for the salvation of our soul. And by that, God himself will change our nature, will give us the Holy Spirit. You see, and this is how God wants us to live, hand in hand with him. We can do the possible. We can go out there and tell other people about Christ. That's possible. We can read the Bible, the Word of God. That's possible. But we can't change our heart. We can't change our nature. God does that. But see, God needs an avenue that he can work with to do that. And that avenue is called faith. F-A-I-T-H. So God himself, he wants us to value Jesus Christ to a degree that we're willing to just give our lives over to him. So when that happens, he would have the avenue that he needs to come into your heart to change your life. When you look at people, they're being changed, but it's for the worst. Because they're allowing other spirits to come into their heart to change them to rebel against God. See, words are spirit. And when words come into your heart, they would either have you to obey God or disobey God. And you would base your life on what you believe in. And God wants us to believe in Christ and value the things of Christ, to base our life on Christ, so therefore he can keep us in this world. See, there's an enemy out here that's out to get your soul. He don't care about your color. He don't care about your financial background. He don't care about your nationality. He wants your soul. And that enemy is Satan. And God himself has provided a way to protect your soul in Christ. In the book of 1 Peter 2:25, the Bible said that even Jesus Christ is the shepherd and bishop of our soul. He would watch and protect your soul as you live in this life by the Holy Spirit. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, your soul is open game to the devil. And the devil can get to your soul through words. That's how you get to your soul. This is why people have a lot of problems in their mental state, because of these words that come into their heart and bring torment within their soul. So the Bible speaks about the washing and the regeneration by the Word of God in the book of Titus 3:5, as we read in God's Holy Word. Because God will wash you from all the filth of this world. In the book of Titus 3:5, the Bible said, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So God himself, by the Holy Word that we believe in, will wash your soul and prepare your mind for his righteousness. Because in the world you get tainted with sin. Things that goes contrary to the Word of God. Things which you have heard sound good, but they're not good for your heart and soul. So God wants us to value his Word. God wants us to value his Son, Jesus Christ. He wants us to live in Christ on a daily basis. So like I said before, there are some people, they value their car. I can recall my brother back in 1969. He bought a 1969 Malibu. And my brother valued that car. I can recall one day I was sitting in our house and it started to rain. He ran out and he got a canvas and he threw it over the car. He didn't want the rain to get on the car. But you know, 1980, that car was all raggedy and old and tires and everything. The seat cover was all messed up. He had no more value for the car. He didn't care about the car anymore. So that's what the Bible meant by the things of this world would perish. You buy a beautiful car, you could pay $100,000 for it. 20 or 30 years from now, it's going to get old. And your love for that car is not going to be the same when you first bought that car. You lose your heart for it. You know, just like when you buy a pair of shoes, a nice suit. Sometimes people may dream about buying a beautiful suit. When they buy the suit and they put it on a couple of times, they lose heart. See? That's what the Bible meant by perishing. The thing that is seen, they're going to perish. Your desire for it is going to perish. Your need for it is going to perish. But the things of God is forever. See, we're always going to need God. You're always going to need love, peace, happiness, and joy. These things will never perish. Never perish. And God wants us to have these things in Christ. But do you value the Word of God enough to give your life over to Christ? My brother, he valued that car enough to do a lot of work to make sure nothing happened to that car. I mean, he was always looking out the window, looking at his car. I thought the car was his girlfriend. He loved it more than his girlfriend, I think. But anyway, he loved that car enough to take care of that car. And God wants us to love him enough that we can take care of his word in our heart. And so this is why God has given us Christ. See, Christ did it all. He took the punishment. He went to hell. He died that we may just have faith, use our faith that was given to us by God to serve God. That's all God wants. He wants us to use our faith to serve him because he's a faith God. Now, the Bible in the book of Galatians, the third chapter, the Bible speaks about faithful Abraham. Now, Abraham believed in God, the Bible said, and because of his faith in God, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And Abraham is a good example in the natural. He came on this earth like we all, had a natural father and a natural mother. In the book of Galatians 3:6, reading down, the Bible said, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Faith means righteousness in the Word of God. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith are the same as the children of Abraham. And the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathens through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So God is a faith God, and he operates through faith in his word. The Bible in the book of Hebrews 6:18 says, without faith, 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is God and the reward of those who diligently seek him. So God is a faith God. When we believe in the word of God, that's an act of righteousness. And God himself, because of your righteousness, can do what he wants to do to change you, to bring you into his son, to reform you by his word. So we know that through Jesus Christ, God himself is reconciling the world back into himself. Reconciliation, that's Jesus' ministry. That's why he came here, to fulfill the Old Testament, to be a vessel that God himself can use to redeem us of our sins. So when people try to put Jesus Christ in the same class with a Muhammad or a Buddha or a Hare Krishna, it's impossible. Because no natural man has the power to change your heart. Now, you can believe in somebody's religion, and the Bible called that the faith of that individual. In the book of Galatians 2:16, the Bible speaks about the faith of Christ. Because God wants us to have the faith of Christ, because God wants us to believe in what he says. So whoever you believe in, you would take on the faith of that individual. You believe in Islam, you have the faith of Muhammad. You believe in Jehovah's Witness, you have the faith of Charles Taze Russell. So whatever religion you believe in, you take on the faith of the author of that religion. And God wants us to believe in Christ, and God wants us to have the faith of Christ, believing and living according to his word. So the word of God is very valuable. God himself has given his word to us, and God himself has used his word to create the universe. You know, you can't get away from John 1 in the beginning. You know, it was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. And God did all his work through his word. These things which you have not in nature were spoken into existence. So we see the natural laws, and we see also the supernatural laws at work. When people go against the word of God, things don't work out so good in their lives. The Bible speaks about the curses of obedience. But Jesus Christ, in the book of Galatians, the third chapter and the 13th verse, has redeemed us from that curse. of sickness, disease, and death. We're all going to die, but the Bible doesn't see a child of God is dying, is sleeping. So a sinner dies because he's going to be forever separated from God, but a saint will sleep. We close our eyes up on the earth, and we open our eyes up in heaven. So that's the guarantee. That's God's word that we have. That's God's promise that we have while we're living in this life, that he will save us, and when we pass on, we will pass on to heaven to be with him forever. And we would live in the new heaven and the new earth when it comes. But see, this is why you have to make preparations now. Don't be like Esau. Esau was a type of the world. He wanted it now. I'm not going to live for that pie in the sky. I'm not going to be a clown walking around with a frown. I want to get it while I'm on the ground. That was his mentality. He wanted to get it now. Didn't want to wait. You know, because he would have got his soup at a proper time. But because of his impatience, he just wanted it now. And he paid a price. He gave up his birthright. What price are you paying just to have it all now? You're giving up your health just to have it all now? You're giving up your mind, your mentality to have it all now? A lot of people, they're being sick in their minds because they're not living according to God's righteousness. You know? They say, well, the ends justify the means. But you're going to be the loser when it's all over. You can go out there and live like the devil, but you'll be the loser when it's all over. You see, Esau was the loser. After his father died, he realized that he made a very big mistake. He gave up his birthright. After you die, you're going to realize you made a very big mistake. There is a hell. There is a heaven. And those who die in Christ go to heaven, those who die in sin will go to hell. Be like Moses. Moses could have lived very good for X amount of years. But Moses decided that even though he may live good for X amount of years, that's not forever. Moses acknowledged that one day he would have to stand and give account of his life before Almighty God. So Moses suffered in this life to enjoy the life hereafter. Are you willing to do that? If so, come up front. Come up and bow down and make a commitment and give your life over to Christ and start loving and value the things of God. Don't value the things of this world. Esau valued his flesh. He was hungry. He wanted to eat. Give it to me. I don't care about this birthright. You can have it. Birthright do me no good if I'm dead. That's what people say. That Bible is no good for me. That Bible can't pay for my rent. It can't provide for me. Friend, what's in this Bible is a way of life that God himself will use to bless you by. If you're willing to put it in practice. You got to put it in practice. I know many people look at the Bible and say, a lot of beautiful promises. But these promises mean nothing unless you really believe in them and put them in practice. It's like anything else. You can go out and learn how to be a doctor, but if you never go out and use your abilities, so what? You can live like a bum. You can go out and learn about law and you still go out and drive a cab. You got to use what you have learned. And God himself wants you to put his word in motion, to believe in it, live by it. It's kind of hard today. You're living in a society that people are so evil. But God himself will make a way for you to live in this life and still be obedient to his word. Because he will protect you in this life. So like I said before, don't be like Esau. Don't sell out for the here and now. Be like Moses. Live for the promises that God himself has given in his holy word. You can come up now. You can bow down and you can receive Christ into your heart as the Lord and Savior. And God himself promised it. Those who receive Christ, he would give the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. In the book of Romans 8:9, the Bible said, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, then you're none of his. You see, there's going to come a day when Christ is going to choose the one who has served him. We have an example of that in the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter, around the 41st verse. There were two groups of people. One was standing on the right side of Christ, and another group was standing on the left side of Christ. And Jesus said to the ones on the right side, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the kingdom of thy Lord. But the ones on the left side, they were religious people. They were people who misused the word of God to have their way in this life. So they died in their sins. So Jesus Christ on the day of judgment did not know those people. He did not know those people as being a child of God. So don't wake up on the day of judgment thinking that you were right with God when you were not right with God. Esau cried for his birthright, but he could not receive it back. Many people on the day of judgment will cry and beg God and ask God to forgive them of their sins, but it will be too late. Because when you die, you're sealed. You're either sealed in righteousness or you're sealed in sin. The Bible speaks about this seal in the book of Ephesians 1:13, that ye are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise on the day of redemption. So acknowledge your condition before God and receive his gift, Jesus Christ, into your heart as your Lord and Savior before you pass on. Tonight we'll be singing from hymn number 159. I am thine, O Lord. All stand, please. The altar's open for those who want to come up and make a commitment and give their lives over to Christ. Come up. Remember, you have a decision to make tonight. You can become saved or you can remain lost. Now, the Bible promised that those who call upon the name of Jesus Christ, he will save. Now, you can do it in your seat or you can come up. You can do it in your privacy of your own apartment. I got saved in my apartment when I was 26 years old. But I made a commitment then to give my life over to Christ in tears. I was broken and God himself heard that cry and gave me his Holy Spirit. So remember, it's up to you. You can die in Christ or you can die in your sins.
Oh, the pure delight of a precious, pleading Son.
We have a prayer by, the closing prayer by Brother Joey.
Lord, we thank you for this fellowship tonight. We thank you for the word of God. And we just pray, Lord, that even though no one came up, we just pray that there is someone here tonight who wants to know you as their Lord and Savior. And I just pray for everyone that's here tonight. I pray for those who are saved, and I pray for those who are not saved. I pray for those who, when they leave here tonight, they don't have an apartment or a hotel room, a room. I pray, Lord, that you will be their shelter, you'll be their comfort. And again, those who do not know you, I pray, Lord, that you still love them. And it's your mercy, it's your love, your grace that keeps them going. And I just pray that so many people realize that there is a God that loves them, and a God that wants to take care of them, comfort them. And I just pray for those here tonight who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they will realize they need the Savior. And bless the food that will be given out and those who eat it. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.